morning, Rob. How's it going?
Good, good. Who's on?
It's Kenny here.
Hey, Kenny. How are you?
I'm doing great. Man, it's just going to be me today. We've got my uncle is on his annual vacation, which is like a big family retreat. I couldn't go this year because I had other things going on. But it's like, yeah, they're part of, or we've got a very large family. And it's probably about 30 that go down to the Outer Banks, Hatteras. And they rent this giant house and just enjoy some quality family time and some beach time. I went last year. It was a great time.
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so he's there now. He'll be back next week. And my dad had a meeting that was supposed to be earlier this morning, but they bumped it back to 11. And so he's en route to that right now.
He's for, okay.
Well, yeah.
let's take advantage of this time then and practice up on this VIPSA process. This is the, along with centers of influence, is probably the easiest and most immediate use of Supernova.
Right.
Leverage your practice. You know, there's active prospecting, which is this, centers of influence and VIPSA. And then there's passive prospecting, which is your representation on boards.
Right.
And, you know, LinkedIn, things where you're not, you know, you're doing things, but they're sort of circuitous to getting business.
Right, you're just kind of involved in the community. You're not actually doing the activity of requesting a referral in one way or another.
Right, right.
Right.
So in this case, the VIPSA process is taking advantage of the goodwill that you create with Supernova. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, after time, people will get used to this level of service and just take it for granted.
Yeah, I had a conversation with someone about that yesterday, is that, you know, they'll be excited about it, but then after a little while, it'll become the new normal for them.
That's exactly right. People ask me, when should I ask for an introduction? I said, you know, shouldn't I let them get used to it? You know, and I said, when were you the most excited about your last new car?
Hmm. The day I bought it.
And that's the only day you probably ever took a picture of it.
Right.
Right. So guess when they're the most excited about Supernova?
That's right when you deliver it. Or do you want to do these things in person? So you'd schedule, you know, you'd deliver the Supernova and then have your first in-person meeting? Or
really interesting. You can do it any time the client indicates that they are delighted.
Okay. Right. So yeah, we've gotten the full range of emotions when delivering it. We've had a few people, and almost everyone thinks they're getting fired when you have the conversation. But several people who were delighted. We've had a good amount that were just, you know, okay. All right. That sounds good. Or that sounds fine or whatever it was, or they had some questions about it. And then a handful of people who were like, I don't need to be contacted that much. And you know, we went through the, well, let's try it. So we've had the full range there.
No, that's just exactly statistically the way it goes, you know.
Right.
Just. And it's interesting, and some people you think are going to be difficult,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're very happy and sign right up. It's like, great, this is going to work great for me. And others
right.
think, my God, I thought he was going to really not like this. And then people you thought were going to be great that would love this will go, you know, I kind of like the way it was, you know, and, you know, why don't, you know, da, 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 I don't need that much attention. And you're like, whoa, that's surprising.
Yeah. I had a quick question before we hopped into the actual content of the call. I wonder if we could get a little feedback on a meeting we had last week, the one we were actually, I think we're we did the call in the car on the way to the meeting last week.
Yeah.
So we met with, it's a little bit of a unique situation, which we still do it in last week, but it's a owner of a decent-sized private CPA firm. Who is the son-in-law of one of our good clients who had a stroke, and so now, by proxy, he's essentially married to the power of attorney who doesn't want to do any, or she doesn't want to call the shots, so he calls the shots, as he sort of did anyways. So we were meeting with him. I did a lot of work with him, because I had to go through the Medicaid process and get assets retitled and meet with the estate attorneys, and we did all sorts of that stuff. So we were dealing with the urgent. And then the dust sort of settled, and now we were having a meeting to just, sort of address the portfolio, get on the same page there, sort of talk to him as a client now, and then also have the conversation about, that was going to lead into the conversation about how we do our business and how we work with our clients. And then we, had the conversation with him about how do you do business? What are your ideal clients? Who do you work with? Who are you looking for? Where are you at? And turn to growth. And, so we had that meeting and covered all those things, and it went sort of as we expected in terms of, progression of that timeline there, where we talked about the portfolio, or we just schmoozed for a bit, and we talked about the account, and he was suggesting things maybe we could even do manage money. And then we said, we thought it would be a good idea if we talked about how we work with our clients. We went through the whole Supernova process. And when we finished, we said, how do you, as an accountant, how have you typically worked with advisors in the past? And he talked about that and said that he had worked with some advisors, but he doesn't actively push referrals unless one of his clients is like, oh, I hate my advisor. And if that was the case when he referred, he made sure that the advisors did it sort of the way we just described, where it was contact at least monthly. So I thought that was good that we led in that discussion. Like, it wasn't we also do that. No, we do that. It was, I said it first, then he sort of confirmed it. So that worked well. Then he also talked about part of his business. So he had his own private firm, and then he merged with a larger firm. And he's now a partner of that firm. And they have a wealth management arm as part of the bigger firm. And it's basically, he said, it's just a young guy. He's probably about your age talking to me. And he wants to actually sit in my office, one or two days a week because he lives out near me. He said he hasn't sent anything there, and they clear through, LPL Financial. But he doesn't know the whole process of how it works, how it's, he's got their accounting firm, they've got this wealth management arm, but they clear through LPL. He wasn't aware of how it works, I think because he doesn't even pay it any mind. So that, we're sort of looking at that as maybe an opportunity learning more about that, how that works. Maybe we could be that person for them. If he doesn't really care about it, maybe it's not the same level of service that he delivers to his clients. And maybe there is an opportunity there, and why not ensure that if you're referring or pointing anyone in the same direction, especially since this thing bears your firm's name, that it be of the same quality that you're delivering on the accounting side. And then we learned, go ahead.
Do that. You guys have that relationship where you can actually pay him.
Right. Yeah, we have an advice link.
Right. So.
Have you heard in the past that, I've just heard generally that some of them like it, some of them think it's a conflict of interest and are not into it.
Well, I would bring it up to him and say, look, here's two ways we can do it. You can avoid complete conflict of interest by just introducing us, or we can pay you.
Right.
Know, because clearly there's got to be a payment for doing this, sending business to your own people.
Right.
And if you'd like that, we can make that arrangement. How do you feel about it?
Right. Yeah. That'd be good, because some people are going to want it and some people aren't. We just weren't sure how to broach that topic. But yeah, we asked him what his ideal client was, because we said we've been meeting with some of our clients and we explained the enthusiastically endorsed model, and how we've encountered one or two, but we wouldn't want to send anyone their way that isn't, well, one, if they aren't looking to grow, and two, if they aren't, their ideal clientele. So he works with a lot. They have private clients, they'll do tax returns and things like that, but they do a lot of mergers and acquisitions, reviewing the wills, second and die policies. They really get hands-on and make sure they're in contact with their clients at least once a month. So the whole time we were just sort of dancing around that we're going to be working together. This is how I do business. This is how you do business, without basically saying we want to work together. But he sort of ended the meeting talking about, he transitioned from how he works with his clients and who he usually works with to that, you know, he works with a lot of second generation things and how those businesses work, and how he works with his son who's 39, and, you know, how he encourages the business owners that he's meeting with when they have second generations to just sort of, you know, hands off a little bit, let the younger generation run things, and you're there just kind of, you know, providing guidance, and you'll chime in if you need to, but the younger one's running it because they're capable. He said he actually liked that because I ran the meeting and my dad was chiming in, and so he said he appreciated that, and he thought that I should meet his son, and we should set up a meeting, and we should, you know, going to be, we should be working together. All right, he said, you know, we should set up a meeting and see where it goes, and, you know, we could work together, I think those words came out of his mouth. And then he followed up immediately after the meeting, emailing his son, my dad, and myself, saying, you guys should meet, breakfast or whatever. And then I've been going back and forth with the son. We were actually supposed to meet yesterday, but he had a conflict, had to reschedule, but he rescheduled it for Tuesday. And so the son might have more hands-on with how the wealth management aspect works. So I'm basically just going to repeat the process, I think, that we did with the father, you know, but just get it from his perspective, how they do business, who their ideal client is. I'll go over how we do business. And I guess take it from there with possibly a referral or two that we could lead with for them.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Hmm.
There's an investment here, as you can see. You know, the
right.
one that this is an investment that most people are not willing to make.
Hmm.
They
yeah.
just will not. They just refuse to meet monthly with anybody. and that's what, you know, the clients will, the CPAs will, and you've just got to carve out that time as essential to your growth and just be patient with it and know that these guys have the ability, if they choose to make your day.
Oh, yeah. No, they could change our practice. And I think we were lucky enough to, you know, we came about this in a backdoor sort of way, but they've got a phenomenal firm. It sounds like, you know, he said he started in his basement. He's got over 40 employees in his firm, and they just joined with this bigger firm where they've got 40 partners, and they've got presence, you know, in London and across the U.S. And so it's a much bigger firm now, but Prager Metis is the firm he joined up with. And yeah, I mean, I'm excited just to work with them just to see where that goes. But then also that whole, the wealth management arm, and that it's just, it seems to be one young guy and he's doesn't know anything about it, you know, maybe there's an opportunity there for us to impress. And, you know, if we were their wealth management arm, that would be phenomenal.
And, you know, they might decide that that thing isn't worth it. I mean, you don't want to, you know, knock the guy out of a job the first time he meets him.
Yeah.
But down the road, you know, if it looks like it's a better fit.
Right.
And they're not really making any money. And to me, they have a lot of liability when they do that.
You know, yeah.
The firm we worked with, I mean, I didn't work. They were my CPA for a while, but they had an investment arm. And guess where they put a good deal of their money? With Bernie Madoff.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, it was really stupid, and they didn't know what they were doing.
And right.
So they got out of that business quick, right?
They did.
You can tell them that story. I mean, that's the kind of thing. I mean, you don't know the business. You're taking on a huge liability. What if a client outspends their money, and they end up coming back and saying, I want all my money back. You know, how long does that? I mean, it doesn't take long for a person to really understand the liability that they're undertaking when they have a brokerage business.
Right.
Really risky.
Mm. So when I meet with the son, should I suggest that we meet monthly, or that'd be something I'd be interested in doing?
Yeah, you need to meet monthly. You've got to get that commitment.
Yeah.
And your purpose of your meeting, remember, the purpose of the meeting is to bring an introduction.
Right.
Right? So, you know, if I ask you the question, what's the purpose of a center of influence meeting? It's for you to bring an introduction to him. That's the only purpose.
Right.
That's your purpose. What's his purpose? His purpose is to bring an introduction for you.
Mm.
That's what you spend. People say, should I meet monthly? Yeah. Would you like an introduction monthly?
Yeah. Okay.
Purpose. So you're going to give them an introduction monthly. How often would you like to meet? I'd like to meet daily.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. If you could get an introduction every day, you'd meet every day.
Right.
Our purpose is to meet monthly, but our purpose is to bring an introduction to that meeting. So if you both bring an introduction, a person to that meeting, and then you just, you know, have a cup of coffee together, the four of you, and then you go off to a table and he goes off to a table and you get to know each other. That's the purpose.
Right.
Ultimate purpose of what you're doing.
Okay. Yeah, I just have, you know, I just believe sometimes I get caught up that I believe he's going to be super busy, but hopefully you'll see the value in it and commit.
Not any
to...
easier than...
Right.
That's the part you got to realize. Everybody's busy, but they've already in their mind carved out some time for marketing. And this is going to be his carved out time for marketing.
Right.
So clearly, you know, your agenda is very simple. Bring an introduction. Next to that, bring value. Your job is to bring value to the meeting. So one of the things to think about is, is there a way of you becoming a specialist in the things that they offer?
Right.
Okay? So think about what they do, and then think about how difficult or how easy would it be for me to be the expert in what they offer.
Right.
You know, who is their ideal client? Can that ideal client become my ideal client? And does that have to become a niche for me where I become very educated?
Right.
And then do I have a center of influence inside that niche that can refer business other than the CPA?
Mm.
Now you have two people in the niche referring to you.
Yeah, I mean, that would be huge. That's like the the dream. We met with an advisor who my dad actually hired years ago, and he's doing great now, and he's doing stuff like that where he's becoming the dot connector. He's assembling what he calls his teams of what you would call trusted advisors. He's got his, you know, his accountant. He's got his attorneys, and he's doing a lot of M&A stuff. So he's in the middle of liquidity events, and he has become so adept at it that, you know, he knows and he believes he can get them a better price. He's really going to help them, and he connects them with the right attorneys and the right accountants, and they have this whole acquisition and deal team, and, you know, it's just like a one-stop shop for their clients who are looking to do this, and hey, it's a win-win for all of the professionals involved.
That's called a niche mastermind group.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd love to have that.
So you can build it.
Right.
You've got one. You've got these guys. Now you got to find out who are the attorneys that they work with.
Yeah. Do you think it's okay to pitch it as, like, this is what I'm looking to do? Not that I already have the accreditation and experience in being the expert in your niche or however they do it, or just that I want to do that for them.
Just ask them if you think it's a good idea. Do you think
right.
this would be a good idea for me to specialize in this area?
Hmm. Okay.
And he said, yeah, fabulous.
What?
Right? If you were me, how would you go about it?
Okay.
I'll lay it all out
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the investment banking behind you. They're not going to want small deals, but you can find business brokers, and they have them. So
right.
So you can see, you get together with the business broker, you get together with the lawyer, you've got the CPA. Now you've got a niche mastermind group, just like this guy did. That's all he did.
Uh-huh.
He built a niche mastermind group. He may not meet with them regularly, but they know each other and he's communicating with them.
Right.
I think it's better to meet formally together, and then you really can get to know each other and on a, you know, a deeper level and really be successful with it.
Mm.
But if you're excited, now you get it, okay?
Mm.
And when you look at these other guys that are doing a lot of business, that's how they did it.
Right.
Every one of them got one of these things going on, or all of them.
Yeah.
Because that's why I teach it. You know, I don't teach you what doesn't work.
Right.
I'll leave that to somebody else.
Yeah.
This works, and this is how those barons... 50 guys do it.
Yeah, I mean, the center of influence thing is just huge.
It's silly that we don't do it. It's really, and you know how many guys that I coach actually do it? Hardly any.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre.
I mean, and some people get that, though. Like, even early on, you know, I'm young, and I've been in the business for 6 years now, and I remember having conversations, you know, five years ago, people talking about how the, you know, the difference between, you know, the average producer and a $1.5 million, $2 million producer usually is a good CPA.
Right.
Like, well, all right, well, how'd they get them? You can't just be like, oh, you know, schmooze a CPA, and then all of a sudden they're going to give you $50 million. You got to have a strategy to work that relationship and make it meaningful. And I sort of feel like we have that with this. Or at least now we have something that's marketable, the, you know, the service model.
Right. And then you get the expertise, and that becomes the second marketable thing. I can't give you that expertise.
Yeah.
I can't teach you to be the smartest guy in the world on a company.
Right.
Or on mergers and acquisitions or...
Yeah, no, we got to pick what we want it to be.
Right.
And then do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it takes some time and work and experience and study, but you know what? It's all just stuff. No, it's not rocket science.
Yeah, no, this is information that's out there.
Right. You can learn it, and then he can teach you.
Right.
But you've got to.
So, yeah, that was a very good meeting, and I'm hoping the one with the sun goes well, too. And that is for Tuesday after Memorial Day. And I'm actually trying to track down the son of the people my dad is meeting with today. That was they had a lumber business, and the two owners are brothers in their 70s looking to pass it on to the second generation, and they were encouraging, the CFO is encouraging this for mid-30s, who's going to be taking it over, to get his own advisors, because all the current ones are their dads, and were probably their grandfathers, who are in their, you know, 70s, so there's not too much longevity there. So that was a perfect transition that she said she thinks he should meet with me, and I wanted to talk with him, and maybe he'd be an ideal candidate as a first introduction for this CPA, which, based on a conversation with the father, they'd be happy to work with this company. And that'd be connecting the dots of the 35-year-old, you know, future lumber company CEO. You've got the 30-year-old advisor and the 39-year-old partner at the CPA firm. If we could connect all three of us, it seems like that'd be
great.
A good second generation meeting.
Right. Right. And then you just do that everywhere.
Right.
That's the model.
Yep.
And just do it with all these businesses that wanna either liquidate or pass it on to the next generation.
Right.
You can facilitate both.
Right.
It's a really interesting time, isn't it?
Because the whole
baby boom generation is now rolling over.
Yeah.
I'm 70 now. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was just the youngest, one of the youngest guys at Merrill Lynch, one of the youngest managers. I was the youngest manager ever at Merrill Lynch, and now I'm 70. How'd that happen?
Right.
That's your dad, that's all these guys, you know. They have somebody else.
Mm.
And,
yeah, that's going to be interesting in our business. In this business too, it's, you know, the average advisor is what? It's like 65 or something like that.
Yeah.
60.
And there's not. My brother just had, you know, he's 69. He just formed a partnership in order to have some longevity and step out of the business.
Right.
But every single one of them is in that situation where they've got to do something.
Right.
Most of the firms now have very nice transition packages for senior guys that want to retire.
Yeah, we got it here, the TFAP, Transferring Financial Advisor Program.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing to do internally, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, help a senior guy and transition his practice. The ideal thing is if the guy had did Supernova and then you did TFAP with him.
Yeah.
And you don't have a bunch of junk to deal with, you know.
Yeah, we work with actually a 73-year-old broker who he was a broker. It still is. Never break from that. But we worked with him over the past 4 years to convert whatever amount of his book would convert over to manage money. And then we're starting, most of his clients, they're my Supernova contacts. Or I'm going to be working on his clients too. He's going to talk to you also, but we're just keeping you in the loop about how we're servicing our clients and we're extending that service to you since we partner with Carmen. And so just sort of, you know, laying the groundwork there and just going to give them the Supernova process too for the ones who have managed accounts with us.
Well, that's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. I think we kind of ate up our time with that, but I think that was...
Well, no, that's good, because this is probably the most meaningful thing that we've got going on right now. I spent some time with on the VIPSA, but honestly, we're still needing to get the ball rolling with, we've delivered the Supernova, and then we kind of caught in this gray area of, we've scheduled a few ourselves, but the lion's share, our Supernova assistant should be starting hopefully next week, according to Human Resources. And then she's going to be, she's like a lion, like a go-getter. And she would have every single person called that week and scheduled.
Uh-huh.
I have no doubt. And do a great job talking to them, schmoozing. But it's like we've got half scheduled for our ongoing monthly calls and half we kind of did ourselves. And so we're in this gray area where it's like the car sort of started. But we're also sort of waiting for it to fully go and then be fully delivering the Supernova process. And then that's when you can really implement things like VIPSA and all these other, you know, techniques that you're teaching us.
Right.
But I feel like we haven't fully gotten on the rails yet.
Well,
I feel like we're probably a little behind, which is not great, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, this isn't unusual. I mean, guys go through this. It's so weird. I was saying to somebody, I said, I have three teams that all have CA problems.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just amazing. That it's a big issue with the industry, I think.
It's the state of the firms right now, yeah, I would say.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You've got to always be taking the initiative like you guys do and, you know, step up and control your lives. So you can't be subject to the whim of either an assistant or the firm. You got to be in control. So you got to always have that ability to control your future. And that's by having, you know, two people always gives you that sense of security.
Yeah. And honestly, we owe you for that because going through this process was a kick in the ass of we've been dealing with that for a while. But now it's like, well, we can't deal with that and have this work. So we're going to have to invest and take control.
Really brilliant. I mean, guys always, you know, I would meet with guys throughout the industry and even when I was working, I'd meet with them monthly. I'd meet them every year, some of them. And, you know, I'd work with, when I was working with Merrill Lynch, And I'd meet them at meetings and things, advisors that I knew over the years. And they'd say, okay, here's where I am. What should I do?
Right.
You know, inevitably it was leverage up, you know, get more leverage. It's not always. It's very often the issue. They don't have enough leverage. They don't have enough support, and you're depending too much on the firm.
Yeah.
And you can't. You're not going to – they're going to inhibit, unfortunately, because of costs. They're going to inhibit your growth. And so you've got to supersede that because it's your business. In the end, it's your business.
And this was the wake-up call for that.
That's good. And that's great. Yeah. All right, so think about making a list of the other five centers of influence that you should have.
Right.
You know, and maybe there's some of these guys that work with them, work with this CPA firm.
You know,
nothing wrong with talking to them about who they're, what attorney, you know, they work with, what business broker they work with.
Right.
You know, do they work with a realtor? You know, a commercial realtor.
Yeah.
Network that for other centers of influence that you might have in mutual contact.
Right. And we're going to build our Rolodex.
Right. That happen to work with people that are selling their businesses. So, just a very interesting, you're in the beginning of creating, I think, a potential niche mastermind group around people that are selling businesses, selling products.
Yeah. That'd be huge.
Yeah, that'd be huge and very, very profitable.
Yeah.
Fun. A lot more fun than just people, you know, people think the fun of the business is managing money. No, the fun of the business is networking and the as you say, connecting the dots and bringing people together and doing business and helping people businesses.
Right, that's my goal. That's where I really feel like we can help people. The managing money, I just feel like it's so commoditized. You know, we're not going to differentiate ourselves there.
Nope, you're not. You can with service, and you can with expertise in things other than managing money. And you can hire the best money manager. See, it doesn't mean you can be, you know, that's the surgery. That's simple.
Yeah.
That you can do. But it's the other things where you can really be an expert and a consultant. I mean, think about me. What am I? I'm a consultant, right? I'm not a consultant on how you manage money. I'm a consultant how you run your business. Mm-hmm. So why can't you be a consultant on how people run their practices, how they run their businesses? How do you network? How do you create these interlocking practices that depend on each other and leverage each other?
Right.
That's a great consulting that you do. General business consulting on how to run a better business.
Huh.
And that you can gain expertise in very fast.
Right.
You know, in 10 years you can be the expert in that area. And that's a short time.
Yeah.
And then there's nobody in the world that's smarter or better than you. And that's the way to think of this business.
Hmm. Well, that's exciting.
Okay. And thanks, buddy. And thanks for being on and look forward. Practice the VIPSA too. And then I'll talk to you next week.
Beautiful, Rob. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.